Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we want to know what's on your mind today. If you'd like to talk about it, well, that's why we're here. We'd love to hear from you right now because the phone lines are open at 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada. Whatever the situation is, a Bible question or a personal issue, we invite you to call right now. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Happy Friday to you. Great week of broadcasting and telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ and how they can be close to the Lord or actually know that they're close to the Lord because of the work of Jesus Christ.
No better message to put out there.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We've put out a brand new video on this particular subject, How Can I Grow Close to God? And as I introduced that particular video, I said this is a question that everybody asks and that religion tries to answer. But religion hasn't been able to come up with an answer. They just continue to put out rules and regulations and rituals and disciplines and all of these things and say, if you can just engage in these well enough, then you can draw closer to God. But it never works. It just never works at all. So the only way we can be drawn near to God is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we've been talking about that all month. Now, once we're in Christ, there are certainly times when we feel a million miles away from God. We feel like he is so far out there that there's just this huge separation. Well, that's not true. There's not a separation between you and God once you've come to Christ. Why? Because he's come to live inside of you. He has joined himself to you. So why do we feel those feelings? Why do we have those feelings? Well, very simply, feelings follow thought. And so we're thinking that we're distant from God. That's what we're thinking. Mm-hmm. And here's one reason why we may feel that way, why we may be thinking that way. In verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 2, the apostle wrote this, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles." So he makes a declaration as to our identity. We no longer belong to this world. We're not a part of this world. Yes, we live our lives in Christ here on planet Earth. We have the ways of this world just pounding at us day in and day out. But we are now sojourners and aliens or exiles. That's who we are as believers in Christ. So he says, as believers in Christ, abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. So all of us have these desires of the flesh that are deep within these bodies of ours, and that these desires of the flesh wage war against our soul. They're not our soul. They're not those desires of the flesh. That's not who we are. But those desires of the flesh are real, and they wage war against the soul. Well, whenever we start to think that those desires of the flesh define who we are, our minds latch on to the lies that are out there, and our feelings follow suit. So if I'm the desires of my flesh, that's how I start to think. In reality, I'm a child of God. I'm a stranger, a sojourner, an exile here on planet Earth. If I start to believe that I am being a part of the world right now, then my feelings are going to follow suit. I'm going to feel distant from God. I'm going to feel estranged from God. So we have to recognize right up front that we're going to be in a battle, that there is a struggle, that there are the desires of the flesh, and those desires of the flesh are going to wage war against the soul. But we have to recognize that we're dead to sin and fully alive to Christ, that we truly have been transferred out of darkness, and we have been placed into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. Mm-hmm. That's our new location. That's our new identity. And if we will continue to keep our minds focused on who we are, who Christ is in us, then those desires of the flesh that try to wage war against the soul are going to come up empty every single time.
Yes, indeed. Bob, thanks for those thoughts. And friends, thank you for being here for this edition of Basic Gospel. We want to hear from you. We have an open line for you, 844-322-2742. That's the number for the U.S. and Canada. And if you have a Bible question, if you have some personal issue or family issue that you'd like to discuss, well, we'd be happy to hear from you right now. That's why we're here, 844-322-2742. And friends, you are invited to come to Lewisville, Texas, mid-October. And that's just when we start the conference. It's going to be just, 28 days from now, something
that's
like that.
Right. And, that's right.
So it's going to be a great time, and it's going to be the first time that we've been able to get together shoulder to shoulder through this ministry, for quite a while. And so it's going to be a very special event. Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley are teaming up for the conference called United, and it's going to be a grace-filled event. We want you to be there, be a part of it. Again, you can get information and registration and register at basicgospel.net/united. And as I said, it's going to be right here in Lewisville, Texas. We'll be at the Hilton Garden Inn. And we have a special block of rooms at special rates that you can take advantage of, and we encourage you to do that so you can stay on site at the conference hotel. And that's going to be ending midnight the 30th of September, as a matter of fact. So we encourage you to go ahead and get your registration made and take advantage of those very, very, very special rates that we provided for you, our Basic Gospel listeners. So, again, all the information available at basicgospel.net/united, the United Conference coming up October 15th through the 17th. Well, Bob, I want to give that number one more time, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. We want you to be a part of this Friday edition of Basic Gospel. And somebody that is going to be a part of it is this caller right now.
Questions about atonement. If we can only be saved by God's grace, not through any effort of our own, then why isn't everyone saved? Why are there some who are not saved? And let's put election aside and just talk about why isn't everyone saved if God can only save and man has no effect on his salvation? Thank you.
Well, that's an excellent question, and one that theologians have been trying to answer for 2,000 years. And it all gets back to what part does God play? What part does man play? And I think the Word of God is very clear that our salvation is on the shoulders of God. He's the one that saves. He's the one that initiated in Christ. He's the one that sent Jesus to take away our sins. He's the one that raised Jesus back to life so that we could have eternal life. But one thing that we see in the scriptures, and we see it on several different occasions, is this: God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. So those who have been humbled by life circumstances, have been humbled by truth, have been humbled just by their own failures, their own inadequacies, their own insufficiencies, they're ripe to receive what God offers. So God gives, we receive. And that's how Paul set it up in Ephesians chapter 2. It is by grace that we have been saved through faith. So this receiving is this act of faith. And all of that is tied to the grace of God. So we don't respond in faith to just nothing. We're not initiating faith. This faith is a response to the message concerning Christ Jesus, the message concerning the fact that he died to take away our sins, that he was buried, and then on that third day he was raised back to life. So we receive that through humility. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. So that's the simple answer. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best answer.
Yeah.
So there's many people out there that are still prideful. They don't want God. They don't want anything to do with God. They want to keep God at an arm's distance and say, hey, you do your thing, God, I'm going to live life my way. And so there's a rejection in their hearts, in their souls, toward the good news of Jesus Christ. And we just see that throughout Scripture. I mean, we see that with the Jewish leaders when Christ came on the scene. I mean, here they had studied the Old Testament Scriptures. I mean, it was just the Scriptures for them, but they had studied the law. They had studied the prophets. They had studied the writings. And they knew that God was going to send someone for them, that the Messiah was coming. And yet when Messiah showed up, when Jesus was standing right in front of them, they rejected him. Why did they do that? Well, because he didn't fit the bill. He didn't do what they thought their Messiah was going to do. So in their pride, they rejected Jesus Christ. We see in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, where Paul talks about the fact that what's we can know about God has been revealed to us in nature, and yet people have rejected that truth. People have suppressed that truth. People have exchanged the truth about God for a lie. Instead of worshiping the Creator, they worship the creation.
Right.
So we see that. And at the end of time, at the judgment of Christ, those who reject Christ, they're going to experience what the Bible calls the second death. That's eternal separation from God. Well, why is that so? Because they've rejected the Son. Paul talks about that very, very clearly in his second letter to the Thessalonians. He said, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. Now, why is that so? Why is that judgment coming toward them? Because they did not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? To receive the reconciliation that he has provided through his death, to receive his life, the very life of Jesus Christ, and to go from death to life. Why do they do that? Because of their own pride.
Yes, indeed.
So God gives grace to the humble. He resists the pride. So why aren't all people saved? Well, because there's a lot of people responding to God with a heart of pride, saying, I don't need you.
Yes, indeed. Bob, what an answer. Thank you for that. And thanks to this caller for a very provocative question. Friends, we have open lines at 844-322-2742. By the way, don't forget that this line is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if you can't get to us during the live broadcast, you can go ahead and call that number anytime, 844-322-2742, and leave your voicemail for us with your question or your particular issue, and we'll discuss it on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that number open right now, as a matter of fact, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, we had this question from YouTube viewer Jide. He says, thank you for the clarity of your teaching about names being blotted from the Book of Life. However, I would like to understand your views about apostates. Judas Iscariot was one of the disciples chosen by Jesus, but he betrayed him and committed suicide. Should we believe that Judas made it to heaven?
Well, that's a great question, and I think the word is pretty clear that you know, he had a hardness of heart toward Jesus. He was a thief all throughout Jesus's ministry. He was the one in charge of taking care of the money, taking care of the finances, and the Bible says that he was dipping his hand into the money till and taking that out for his own benefit, for his own good. We see at the very end that Satan entered into him, and he carried out that betrayal under the influence of Satan himself. And at the end, he was remorseful, but never repentant. Uh, re, he never repented.
Right.
So there was deep remorse, deep regret as to what he did, but he wasn't going to change his mind concerning Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that. And I think the Apostle John really kind of tells the story of folks like that. And we see a lot of them in the churches today, not only here in the United States, but all around the world. We see people constantly saying, hey, I'm a believer. And then sometime later on in life, they reject Christianity. They walk away from Christianity. They fall away, so to speak. They are apostate. Well, what does the Word of God have to say about that? It says this, that they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it may be, that it might become plain that they are all not of us. So that is John writing in his first letter, chapter 2, starting in verse 19. So there are a lot of people that give lip service to a Christian faith, a Christian belief, but in their heart, they're far away from God. They have never truly trusted the living Christ. So when pressures mount, when worldly temptations start to tug them, they move away from what they say with their lips and follow what's really in their hearts. And that following what was really in their hearts is just proof that they were never a part of us to begin with.
Right.
So they pretended to be a part of the fellowship, a part of the church. They pretended to be believers in Christ, but life proved to them differently, and so they left, and that leaving proves that they were never saved to begin with.
To begin with. That's the very final word right there.
Yes.
This is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. Again, thank you for being with us, everybody. We still have some time on the clock, time for you to make that call if you have a question, 844-322-2742. And in the meantime, Bob, a question from David. Says, so many Christians believe that the lost will suffer throughout eternity in hell. Just imagine, time with no end. What could it possibly accomplish? What is your ministry's position on this?
Well, I mean, that's a human thinking in human terms, and we have to look at it from God's perspective, and God's perspective is the one that matters. God's perspective is the one that's going to stand. There's a lot of things in our minds that don't seem fair. I mean, if you look at it, the grace of God isn't fair. I mean, we in America, we base everything on merit, on earning. Have you earned it? And what the fairness aspect of it is that everyone has the same opportunity to earn as much and do as much as they want to do. But with the grace of God, it comes to anyone who has been humbled and knows that they need help beyond themselves. They need supernatural help to go from death to life. So somebody that is the worst person on the planet can receive the grace of God. Well, that doesn't seem fair in our human way of thinking. But if we're going to judge God based on our human way of thinking, it's not going to come out good for him as far as our understanding of who he is, and it's certainly not going to come out good for us. So let's put away human understanding, mm-hmm. and let's just recognize that there was a problem. The problem of man is death. We were spiritually dead. That's the consequence of sin. And God has a solution for it, and that solution is eternal life, and that life is found in Jesus Christ. So he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's that simple, yep. that clear, that plain, that black and white. So if you don't have the Son of God, you're going to remain dead spiritually. And if that's your condition when you die physically, you're going to experience eternal death. That's the punishment. That's what God has declared. That's what the Word of God has to say. Now, we may not fully understand that. We may not fully comprehend it. We may cry unfair, unjust. But if we do, we are speaking lies, because there is no injustice in God. He is both just and the justifier. And so whatever decision he makes and however that's going to play out eternally, that's in his camp.
Yeah.
And we just need to leave it there and trust that's the absolute best, because it comes from God.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, David, for the question. And Bob from San Diego, Dana, wants to says she enjoys the program very much. She says, I started tuning in around the time Robin Williams committed suicide, and I finally understood God's grace after you explained it to a listener. She says, I've been a believer since as long as I can remember. Why did it take so long to fully understand God's grace? Was it the Holy Spirit that revealed this to me?
Well, it is the Holy Spirit that reveals it to us. There's no way that we can truly know about the grace of God apart from the Spirit of God revealing that to us. Here is a passage that we all need to mark in our Bibles. It is in the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And Paul explains our situation. He says, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. So grace is not something that we can ascertain through our own intellects. We can't figure it out through human reason and logic. It's something that has to be revealed to us. And praise be to God that he sent his Spirit to take up residence in us to reveal to us the fullness of God's grace that has been poured out on us in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So there's no way to understand it apart from it being revealed to us by the Spirit. Now, oftentimes, and this was my particular case, I came to Christ, recognized I needed Jesus. That was the grace of God. God loved me enough to let me know that I needed him, and I received him. But once I did, I tried to live the Christian life through human effort,
yeah.
And it was very frustrating. And I had to come to the end of myself and realize not only did I need Jesus for salvation, I needed Jesus for life,
sure.
Here and now. And once that happened, the Spirit of God started just revealing and pouring out understanding into my heart and mind about this grace of God that saved me.
Yes, indeed. Well, Dana, hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out to us. And friends, that's it for another week here at Basic Gospel. Remember, it's because of you that we are here every weekday, bringing you the good news of the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your help, of course, is vital, as always, to ensure that this message remains on the air and online. Donate at basicgospel.net, and when you do, request your copy of Andrew Farley's teaching series, Clean and Close. It's our way of saying thanks for your support of this ministry, and again, that's at basicgospel.net. Over the weekend, as I said earlier, if you have a Bible question or a personal issue you'd like to pose to us, well, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742, and we'll discuss it next week on the Basic Gospel program. Again, the number, 844-322-2742. Also, you're invited to join Bob Christopher online for Sunday Morning Live every Sunday morning at 9:30 Central. You can easily join Bob by clicking either the Facebook or YouTube link at the top of our homepage. That also is at basicgospel.net. At Sunday Morning Live online, 9:30 Central with Bob Christopher, he would love for you to join him, and it will be a blessing to you without question. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again next week for Basic Gospel, and wishing you a blessed and safe weekend in and because of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.